It is Friday of what is arguably the most important week for the global economy for 2018 so far. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news this morning. President Trump has gone ahead and authorized the $50 billion in tariffs on Chinese products. China is retaliating by penalizing U.S. goods and canceling the fruits of recent negotiations with the U.S. This has been a watershed week for people trying to figure out where to place money and to move money. Economist Christopher Lowe tracks all of this at FTN Financial in New York.
We had a momentous Fed meeting, a momentous ECB meeting. We had an IMF report weighing in on U.S. fiscal and trade policy. And on Friday, we come in and the White House is full steam ahead on $50 billion in new tariffs on the Chinese. And don't forget, David, they've got another $100 billion in tariffs in the wings just in case China retaliates.
Now, the U.S. Federal Reserve, they adopted a slightly more aggressive posture this week toward raising interest rates in the U.S. But the European Central Bank, remind me about what was so striking about what the head of the ECB said.
Well, I think the big thing watching the press conference was that Mario Draghi spent a lot more time defending the viability of the euro than he did talking about economics or rate policy. And that took a little while to sink in as well. But just to put it into perspective, the euro sold off almost 2% after that press conference. It was the biggest drop since Britain voted to leave the European Union.
With Italy and Spain bringing in politicians who are more skeptical of the European single currency. Meanwhile, emerging markets are feeling that the U.S. Federal Reserve is stiffing them by raising rates here and attracting capital from there.
Yeah. I tell you what's really amazing, if you remember back when we did the whole QE experiment, part of the idea was that the return on risk-free assets would disappear and it would force people to take more risk. So you've had ordinary Americans putting money to work around the world looking for returns. Well, now you can earn almost 2% on a three-month treasury bill, which is the quintessential risk-free asset. And people are taking advantage of that. They're bringing their money back to safety, and it is just flooding out of emerging markets. As a Brazilian banker friend said to me the other day, you guys are really lucky you can raise money in your own currency. We can't do that. And, you know, every time the Fed tightens, this happens to us. It's grim.
Chris, thanks for this. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
A major recall for that Kellogg's cereal, Honey Smacks, salmonella somehow, just that specific cereal. 60 people have gotten sick. Marketplace.org mentioned on air tab has a link to the CDC statement about this. If your sweet cereal eaten days are before the mid-1980s, you may remember Honey Smacks as Sugar Smacks. We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. A producer here on the Marketplace Morning Report team had a question for me the other day. If one were to get married, should the couple combine bank accounts? She wasn't asking for a friend. Katie's getting married to Alex tomorrow. But let's get a wider take on this question by bringing in an expert, Beth Kobliner, a personal finance writer and author of Get a Financial Life.
I think the most important thing for couples who are just starting out is the notion of having bigger discussions. The average age for a woman marrying is 28. 25 years ago, it was only 24. For men, the average age is 30. And it used to be just 26, 25 years ago. So they're entering marriage with more assets and more financial baggage. So having those conversations about what are your values? Do we want to buy a home together? Do we just want to travel a lot together? Do we want to have kids? Do we want to go back to grad school? Those big conversations will dictate what you do with your money.
I could just see this, right? Do you have any bankruptcies in your past? Like, it's a valid thing
to know. It's a valid question. Do you have high student loan debt? Do you have credit card debt you haven't told me about? When it comes to their financial lives, people are squeamish, and it's important not to be and to have these conversations before you get married and throughout your marriage.
All right. But I am just glad that Mary Brancaccio did not base her decision to get married based on my credit rating back in the Pleistocene era
right,
when we got married.
Right.
But I had no bankruptcies, at least. Now, one of our cherished producers here is getting married any day now, and she asked me if she should combine the pair's bank accounts into one conjugal account. What's the answer to that?
I strongly think that people should have conversations about this to see how they feel, because there's no one right answer. But generally speaking, it's good to have three accounts, a yours, mine, and our account. So you have the joint account for mutual goals. We're saving for a down payment on a home. We're trying to get a car, whatever. But then you have your own account that you could spend money freely on smaller items. I think marriage in some ways, and this sounds very unromantic, is a catalyst for getting your personal finances together, looking over everything. You know, do I have too much credit card debt? How do I cut back? And this is the time to talk openly about it.
Just not the night before the wedding.
Probably not a good idea.
All right. Beth Kobliner's latest book is Make Your Kid a Money Genius. Beth, thank you so much.
It's great to be here.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.